This one might be especially good for kids that are here this morning. Have you ever been scared to tell the truth, and why were you scared to tell the truth? You were scared because your wife would kill you. Okay. Any other thoughts on being scared to tell the truth and why you were scared?
Yeah? All right, Brady?
I would be scared because I might tell the truth and they'd get mad at me and I wouldn't see them maybe again.
Yeah. It's a good one. Any other reasons why you might be scared to tell the truth?
All right, Rihanna?
People might not like what you have to say.
Yeah, people might not like what I have to say, yeah. All right, and the last question I have for you is, do you get in trouble? Do you get punished? Are there consequences when you disobey? When you disobey someone, are there consequences? Yeah, pretty much there's always consequences to not telling, to when you disobey.
Some parents are giving me the motion like, do not give my children the mic at this point. They will tell stories that I do not appreciate. So I'll just go with that.
All right. That's great. Thanks, Brad. Well, I want to tell you a bit about a story that that I was involved in. As Brad said, I'm Caleb, and I'm one of the leaders of the Children of Israel. And we had been slaves in Egypt for years. We had been living there, and the Egyptians had made us their slaves, and so we were under their rule. Well, eventually God freed us from slavery, and we were wandering in the wilderness. God was leading us through, and finally we got to a place called Kadesh in the wilderness of Paran. You can see a picture there of kind of what the area of Kadesh is like. Well, this is right on the edge of the land that God had promised to give to our ancestors. We were right there on the edge, ready to enter the land that God was going to give us. And we were going to have rest and peace, and we were going to have a land flowing with milk and honey. That's what God said, that it was going to be a land flowing with milk and honey. Now, it's not literally rivers of honey and milk in the land. It was more that was meaning that the land was fertile, that there was lots of good things there. There was fruits and vegetables in abundance, and everything that we needed to live there was there. So it wasn't quite literally, now though there was honey and milk in the land, it wasn't literally rivers of it. So we got to the edge, and just over the mountains that you see in that picture there was the land that we were promised. So we were ready to go in. But some of us got the idea, well, maybe we should go and take a look at the land first. Maybe we should go and see what it's like, do some reconnaissance missions and find out what the land is like, what the people are like who are living there. Before we go in, because that might help us to know what we're going to face. So Moses agreed, and he talked to God, and God said, well, choose one person from each of the 12 tribes. So send 12 people in to go and take a look at the land. Find out what it's like, find out what the fruits are like, find out what the people are like, what the cities are like. So I was one of the 12 people that was chosen to go in. And so we went in, and we started looking around. You can see on a map here where we went. We started down Kadesh, and we headed all the way up there to the top, and then came back down. We spent 40 days looking in the land, and 40 days might seem like a long time, but this is back before cars, and so we were walking and hiking through all this land, and so it took us a long time to get up to the top and back, and so we weren't able to kind of sit down and really get comfortable with what the place was like. We had to keep moving. We had to keep seeing new things every day, and we were always on the move, trying to see what was going on. So we got a good overview of the land, and what we saw was definitely things flowing with milk and honey. There was definitely abundance of good things there. But the cities were well fortified. There were lots of bulwarks, as Jared mentioned to us earlier. It was something that we had to overcome, and the people there were big and strong people. We even had the descendants of, you guys heard a few weeks ago, I hear, about Goliath, and how tall he was and big he was. Well, his ancestors, his great-grandfathers were in the land at this time, and so we had many Goliaths in the land that we saw when we were scoping out the land there. And so 12 of us got back, and we were ready to tell the people what we saw. And we started out telling them that the land was great, that there were lots of really good things there, that it was definitely a fertile land. We would have all the provisions we needed. And then 10 of them decided to continue and told that, you know, there's strong towers and strong people and all sorts of obstacles that we'd have to overcome, that it wasn't going to be easy, that we were maybe not going to be able to do it. And they started to doubt what God had promised us. They started to doubt and not trust God. They didn't want to trust and obey God with what he had told us we could do. And so they got scared and started saying these things. And the people, they got really upset and they got scared and they started to freak out and they wanted to go back to Egypt. All they could think of was, we're just going to die here. Why do we continue? Let's get a new leader. Let's go back to Egypt. We had food. We had shelter. We had security there. Sure, we were slaves, but hey, at least we had all those things. So the people really wanted to go back at that point. And so Joshua and I, my buddy, who also trusted in God and wanted to obey him, we stood up and we quieted the people and we said, no, let's go. We can do this. God is on our side. God will help us. He'll make the way for us. And so we tried to convince the people that we should go ahead, that we should take the land because God had promised it to us. But the people wouldn't listen. And I'll tell you a bit more about what happened. But first I want to tell you why Joshua and I had the confidence that we had to trust God. If we had just had this one experience, if we had just had this promise from God, it may not have been as easy to trust him in this situation because there was a lot of obstacles that we would have to overcome to take this land. It wasn't easy. It wasn't going to be just walking in and taking over. But as we look back, we saw how God had rescued us from Egypt. There were 12 plagues that God brought on the land, and God, through the series of plagues, convinced Pharaoh to let us go. And when we were let go, God guided us. He was a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, leading us as we walked out of the land and as we made our way out of Egypt. So God was with us. When we hit the Red Sea and we were about to cross over the Red Sea, Pharaoh changed his mind and he was coming behind us with armies and he was going to kill us and bring us back as slaves. And there were mountains on either side and we couldn't go anywhere. We had Pharaoh's army charging behind us, and God, he did an amazing thing that day. He separated the water so that we could walk through on dry land. And so we walked through. God provided a way through where we didn't think there was any way that we were going to make it through. But we had to trust and obey God that the land that we were going to walk across was dry. And so we walked across, and as soon as we got to the other side, Pharaoh's army was barreling through, and then God let the waters go back. And they went back to the way they were. And then we, just after that, we got into the wilderness, and all of a sudden we found ourselves by a stream, and we're in the desert, so when we found a stream, this was good news. The problem is, the water was bitter. It wasn't drinkable. We couldn't just drink the water. And so we had to find out what to do. And so Moses talked to God, and God said, take a certain stick and throw it in the water, and it'll become drinkable for you. Well, Moses did that. Moses trusted and obeyed what God said and threw that stick in the water, and all of a sudden it was drinkable for us, and we had our fill of water. We continued on, and we were in the desert now, and looking around, there's just sand everywhere. There was no food. We didn't know what we were going to do for food. We'd run out. Our supplies were gone. And so Moses again talked to God, and God brought quail and manna for us. He provided food for us, and we literally had to trust God every day for the food that we were going to eat. There was no way that we were going to make it unless God provided food for us. We continued on, and again, we ran out of water. And this time, there was no spring around. There was no water source that we could pull from. And so Moses talked to God, and God said, hit this rock with a stick, and water will come gushing out. So Moses did what God said. Moses obeyed God. And water came from the rock, and we got the water that we needed to continue on. In all of these ways, though, each of these times that we faced a challenge, the people started to say, we should go back to Egypt. We should return. They were having difficulty trusting God, but God provided each of these times. He even got to the point where when Moses went up onto a mountain to talk to God, the people brought all their jewelry together and created a golden cow to be a resemblance of God for them. Well, when Moses came down from the mountain, he wasn't impressed, and neither was God that we had gone ahead and made this golden cow, and we weren't trusting and obeying God. We were taking things into our own hands. And so we had Moses destroyed that calf and just obliterated it into pieces. And it was shortly after that that God told us again what he was planning for us. He reminded us of the promise that he had made to bring us into the promised land. And so this is what God said through Moses. He said, "Now get yourselves ready. I'm sending my angel ahead of you to guard you in your travels, to lead you to the place that I've prepared. Pay close attention to him. Obey him. Don't go against him. He won't put up with your rebellions because he's acting on my authority. But if you obey him and do everything I tell you, I'll be an enemy to your enemies. I'll fight those who fight you. When my angel goes ahead of you and leads you to the land of the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites," that's the land of promise that God was giving to us, "I'll clear the country of them." God was going to go ahead of us. And he continued on and said, but you serve God, and he'll bless your food and water. I'll get rid of the sickness among you, and there won't be anything wrong. I'll make sure you live full and complete lives. I'll send my terror on ahead of you and throw those people you're approaching into a panic. All you'll see of your enemies is the back of their necks. And I'll send despair on ahead of you. I'll push the Hivites, the Canaanites, and the Hittites out of your way. I won't get rid of them all at once, lest the land grow up in weeds and the wild animals take over. But little by little, I'll get them out of there while you have a chance to get the crops going and make the land your own. I'll make your borders stretch from the Red Sea to the Mediterranean Sea, from the wilderness to the Euphrates River. I'm turning everyone living in that land over to you. Go ahead and drive them out." That's what God had said to us. And our response to this was, "All the words which the Lord has spoken, we will do, and we will be obedient." That was just a few months before we got to the edge of the promised land. So it wasn't that long ago that we had made this promise to God that we would trust and obey him, that we would do what he told us. Well, back to the story. Joshua and I had just finished telling the people, "We can take this land. Let's go up at once before God becomes displeased with us. Let's go and take the land that he's given to us." Well, the people didn't want to hear it, and they tried to kill us. They tried to make an end to us because they didn't want to hear the fact that we trusted God, that we believed that God would look after us despite the obstacles we were facing. And just after that, God showed up and met with Moses. That got the people worried because whenever God showed up, there was often punishment and often problems because of the things that we had done. When God showed up in this sort of way, by coming down and meeting into the tabernacle, it usually wasn't a good thing for us. It usually meant that there was some sort of consequence that was coming. So the people started to get a little worried, and Moses talked to God, and God relayed to him that we're going to spend a day or a year for every day that the spies were in the land. Well, we spent 40 days spying the land, so that meant that we were going to spend 40 years in the wilderness. On the map here, you can see that we had come, the next map that's up there, you can see that we had come from Egypt, we had gone down to Mount Sinai, and we had come up just under where that circle is. We were in that area of that circle. We had to go back down and then back up in and through a different way. And it took us 40 years to go that distance because it wasn't good land. It was very difficult, challenging terrain that we had to go through. And we hit lots of obstacles. But God was with us through it all, and we made it through. But during that time, when God was telling us all this, he also made an exception. Or one of the other things that he said was that the whole generation of people, 20 years and older, were going to die in the wilderness. That through this journey, all the people who were 20 years and older weren't going to make it. They weren't going to be able to see the promised land because they had disobeyed. They hadn't trusted and obeyed God. And so all of those people were going to pass away. But there was an exception that Joshua and I, because we had been faithful to God, because we had stood strong and believed God, he was going to make us, he was going to allow us to live. We were going to get into the land and be able to see the land with our families. One of the interesting things that God said to Moses when he was talking to him was this. He said, "But my servant Caleb, this is a different story. He has a different spirit. He follows me passionately. I'll bring him into the land that he scouted, and his children will inherit it." That was a great promise to hear from God, that I was going to be able to make it into the land because I had stood up for the truth. I had stood up for what God had promised us and didn't allow the challenges of the land to overwhelm me. But it wasn't the same for all the rest of the people. They weren't going to make it. And I wish I could say that that was the end of things, that we spent the 40 years in the wilderness and then we made it into the land. But the very next day, the people decided that they again weren't going to trust God. They weren't going to listen to what he said. They weren't going to obey him. And a group of them decided that they were going to go up and they were going to take the land. So they went up. Moses said, "Don't do this. Don't disobey God." He warned them not to go ahead. But they went anyway. And they were killed. They were destroyed because they tried to take the land when God said, "You have this consequence that you need to follow, that you're going to have to wait 40 years in order to enter the land." They didn't trust and obey God. Well, that's my story. But how does this relate to you? How does this fit in with your life? How does this fit with things that you experience and things that you go through in your everyday life? Well, the thing is that God gives each one of us different things that he promises us. And we have to trust him with faith and obedience in all the situations that he leads us into. We have to look to God and follow him. When we don't trust God, when we don't obey what he says to us, there are consequences for the things that we do. And when you're faced with a situation where the truth isn't being spoken, where God isn't being trusted and obeyed, it's important to stand up and tell the truth. There might be consequences. It might not be easy to tell the truth, but it's necessary to tell the truth. It's necessary to trust and obey God, despite what you might be going through. For those of you that work, when you're at work and a coworker decides that they are going to disobey, that they are going to start stealing supplies or stealing from your employer, do you just sit back and be quiet? Do you just let them go ahead and do that? Or do you stand up and tell your boss what's going on? It's important to stand up for truth. It's important to trust God in those situations. If you're facing a situation at work where your employer is going against laws and regulations, do you blow the whistle on the company? Do you tell someone what's going on? Or do you stay silent? Do you worry about, if I tell someone, I might lose my job. I might not have a job if I tell on the employer. Or do you trust God that he might have you there for that situation? He might have you there to make that stand for truth in that situation. When you're at school, for those of you that are kids, when you're at school and a friend of yours is being picked on, do you just stand back and allow them to be picked on? Do you join in picking on them? Or do you stand up for your friend? Do you risk the fact that you might get made fun of yourself? Do you risk the fact that it might not be easy to tell the truth? But knowing that God is there for you, that God is going to be faithful if you trust and obey him. When God has revealed a plan for your life, when he's given you a vision and a dream for what he wants you to do, and you hit a challenging obstacle, when something isn't quite working, do you give up and do you go back to what you were doing before? Do you go back to the comfortable things that you knew? Or do you trust that God has a way for you through this? Do you trust God that he's going to make it work? That he's going to allow this dream that you have to become a reality? Are you going to continue to trust God? When you're in a social situation, if Christianity is being picked on, if Christianity is being mocked and ridiculed, do you stand up and tell people what you believe? Do you trust God that he's going to be with you in that situation? Or do you just sit back and allow Christianity to be mocked? The thing is, in each of these situations, God is with us. And if God is with us, who can stand against us? If God is with us, how can we not trust him and obey him? Because he has a plan, and he wants us to speak the truth. He wants us to tell the truth. Just as Joshua and I faced the wrath of the people and were almost killed for telling the truth, for trusting and obeying God, the same thing is in situations that you face, that we need to trust God. He's going to be with us, and he's going to reward you for telling the truth. He's going to allow you to have good things because he wants the best for you. And God will be with you if you trust and obey him. I'm going to have the worship team to come, and we're going to sing a couple songs in response. And the one song is new. It's a song that you guys haven't sung before. But it's a song that really talks about trusting in God and obeying him. So if you don't know it, feel free to just listen to the lyrics for the first little bit. And once you kind of get on to the song, you can join the team singing the song. And then the second song as well, it really just continues to emphasize the fact of trusting and obeying God. As well, if you need prayer, if you kind of feel that some of what you've heard this morning, you're interested in talking to someone more or you want to pray about it, you can come and talk to me or you can talk to one of the people who's at the prayer stations on either side. You can go and talk to them. Thanks.